This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Old dogs lie beside the door. They toss and turn, scratch and snore. They fight again their puppy wars. From playful battles raging, old dogs lie alone at night. They tuck their tails, they curl up tight. They howl when moons are full and bright. Recall when they were lovers. Old dogs have a song to sing. Old dogs like most everything. They care not what the weather brings, except when it is thunder. Old dogs look you in the eye. They hold your heart. They never lie. They bark at planes up in the sky. You wish that they were flyers. Old dogs dream about the past. They frolic fields of golden grass and chase the icy winter's blast to lie by home fires burning. Old dogs wander off alone. Old dogs know the way back home. Scent the buried bone, the hunter home returning. Old dogs come, old dogs go. Old dogs always seem to know that love is life's most precious flow, and love is worth the waiting when their time on earth is through. Old dogs are forever true, and round the bend they wait for you come some tomorrow morning. When their time on earth is through, old dogs are forever true. Then they wait for you come some tomorrow morning. When their time on earth is through, old dogs are forever true. Ben, they wait for you come some tomorrow morning.
Old Dogs from Old Bill Dogs. Staines here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Welcome to the Folk Show, Bill.
Thank you, Kate. Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming back.
Sure.
Are you a dog lover?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes. We've had 32 years of Springer Spaniels.
Springer Spaniels.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I love all dogs.
Yeah. And you have one now?
Mm-hmm.
And its name is?
Lily.
And does she
Miss
keep,
Lily.
Does she keep you busy?
Yes.
I have a Cocker Spaniel, and she's a handful.
Uh-huh.
Likes to chew on everything. You name it. Headphones, you know, anything. Anything she can get her little teeth on.
Sure.
So I'll be trained one of these days. Yeah. Bill Staines, it's so interesting to see you without a hat.
Well, I wear it most of the time on stage.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of house concerts lately, and I don't wear it at house concerts as much. Yeah. But when I'm out doing a regular concert, I do.
Do you consider yourself a cowboy?
No.
No? But you like the hat.
I've always had a Western style of writing and kind of a Western style of dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a cowboy.
You're not a cowboy.
I'm not a real cowboy.
Well, you did that song, Rodeo
Maybe.
Rose.
And, sure.
Yeah. So, Nancy Griffith's hero. How does it feel to be Nancy Griffith's hero?
Well, I've known Nancy for a long time, and back in the 70s, maybe early 80s. You know, she was part of the Houston, Austin, Texas music scene. And it was sort of a musically incestual scene where bands would break up and people would join another band and then they'd all get back together. And everybody was kind of running around in circles for a long time, actually. And I thought Nancy was so good. And I said, why don't you just get out of Texas and, you know, go on the road for a little bit? And so we did some shows together in the early 80s. And then 1984 came along, and she did the Austin City Limits show. And that really sort of opened a ton of doors for her. And but I've known her for a long time.
I know she recorded Roseville Fair.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
Has she recorded any of your other songs?
She sings a couple of them, but
she
hasn't. That's the only one she's recorded.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since you came to visit us. What have you been up to since you were last here? I know you made it through your second million miles.
Uh-huh.
And so what's new on your plate these days?
Well, still a lot of traveling around, you know, and a lot of performing and so forth. And I've just finished another album, The Third Million Miles.
Okay.
And they're all songs. It's the first. I have a million miles series, and it's a First Million Miles, Volume 1 and 2. Then there's the Second Million Miles. And this is the Third Million Miles. Now, the previous ones are all compilations. They're songs that were recorded during the first or second million miles. And this one is kind of half and half, actually. It's songs that were recorded during the Third Million Miles, but also songs that were written that haven't been recorded yet. And so but I wanted to complete that series because I'm not sure I'm going to make it to the fourth million miles. I'll be 90 or something like that when that happens. So I really wanted to do that. And so it's sort of half compilation and half new material.
Should we play one from the new album?
Sure.
What should we play?
This is a song called To Open Water. I get back to New England sometimes. People say, why don't you ever write any songs about New England? And I've written a couple of songs about New England, but I was down at the seashore one day before I was about to go out on a tour, and I was sitting there doing this crossword puzzle, and I looked up, and there were all these fishing boats going out for the day. And so I never did finish the crossword puzzle that day. I just wrote the song in the margin of the puzzle. So here it is.
Okay. To Open Water from the new Third Million Miles album that's coming out soon.
Hopefully September.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be on the Red House record label.
It's going to be on my own label.
This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we're visiting with Bill Staines.
There's a sparkle out on the water, there's a warm breeze from off the strand, and with a wave and a wish, we will follow the fish far away from the harbor and land. Oh, my boat, she is neat and happy, and she springs to the finest line. Oh, she's a sturdy old craft, from her fore to her aft, we were both young, and I made her mine. And now we're steering to open water, and we are dancing across the tide. And with my lines all set, I'll be casting the nets to the ocean, so deep and wide. And with my lines all set, I'll be casting the nets to the ocean, so deep and wide. It sees me through, and I'll be striking again for sure. And if my hand and my heading is true, then I'll return to you once more. And so adieu, my own true lover, It is for you my heart has burned. But do not grieve for me on this cold gray sea if I ever no more return. But do not grieve for me on this cold gray sea if I ever no more return. For I'll be steering to open water, and I'll be dancing across the tide. And with my lines all set, I'll be casting the nets with St. Peter by my side. With St. Peter by my side.
Bill Staines here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio from his soon-to-be-released album Third Million Miles, and that was called To Open Water. Who do you have helping you out on that track, Bill?
Well, there's a guitar player that I work with from Texas. He flew up to do the recordings, a fellow by the name of Brian Wood, who also played with Nancy Griffith many years ago. And then on banjo, there's John Curtis. John, I've known since I was seven years old. he used to be one of the Johns in the Poussette Dart Band. And Penny Whistle is Billy Novick, and Daryl Anger on violin.
Wow, what a lineup. And they're on the whole album?
Daryl is on four cuts. Mm-hmm. Billy's on two or three. Brian is on most all of them. Yeah, we got a lot of good people on there.
The Third Million Miles is the name of the new album from Bill Staines that's soon to be released. We're lucky to have him here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're going to take a quick break and come back and visit some more right here at NHPR.
The lazy days of summer are on their way, but that's no excuse to zone out. And while you might be taking a break this summer, the news is not.
A decision to allow states to permit sports betting.
One benchmark hit $77 a barrel.
If this act passes, it will be one of the broadest.
When you listen to Morning Edition, you start your day fully awake, even if you're waking up in a hammock or on a beach somewhere. Listen every day.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Evolve at Rye Senior Living, a senior community devoted to Alzheimer's and dementia memory care and compassion for residents and their families. Evolve at Rye.com. Bill Staines is our guest tonight. Bill, what is your New Hampshire connection?
Well, I've lived in New Hampshire since 1974. We're just in the seacoast, and so it's home for me. I mean, I grew up in Massachusetts, but I moved here in 74. And so I love it. You know, it's just, it's home.
What was the attraction for you?
Well, actually,
it's not really the hotbed of the music industry, right?
Well, it was my wife-to-be was looking for a graduate school that offered the programs that she wanted, and that was UNH. Mm-hmm. And so she moved to New Hampshire from Virginia, and I moved up to New Hampshire. So that was it.
And that's your story.
Yeah. And we live only a couple of miles from Dover, but it's out in the country, and uh-huh. It's just really beautiful. You know, we rented for a while and then moved out to our landlord's place, actually, when they built a new house many, many years ago. And ended up building our own house there in 82. So it's home.
Bill, in 2015, Yankee Magazine published its 80th anniversary issue, and you were included on a list with folks like Stephen King and Katharine Hepburn as one of the 80 gifts New England has given to America. That's a pretty distinguished list.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. The fellow who is the editor, I can't remember his name right off the bat, followed me around to a couple of gigs for a number of weeks, months. And they sent a photographer out and so forth, and he and his sister were fans, and so they decided I was going to be one of the gifts, and that was pretty cool. It really was. I mean, people were talking about it. You know, I go to Connecticut, and they say, well, we opened it up, and there you were. I mean, right there with, you know, Bill Belichick and, you know, and the whole thing. Oh. Not only that, but a two-page spread, you know.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's pretty cool, yeah.
Well, between the first million miles and the third million miles, you sound so much the same to me. What's your secret for keeping the pipes, Bill?
I think it's just singing a lot, really. I mean, I you know, I really feel like your voice is the way they talk about automobiles. You know, it's I mean, if people say, how can you sing like 20 nights in a row? Well, it's like your car being out on the interstate. You know, it loves it. Your voice loves it. The hardest part is when you're singing, like, say, on a Friday and Saturday, and then you've got the rest of the week off, and then the next Friday you come along and you start to sing again or whatever. And it takes a while for your voice to warm up. And by the time it's warmed up, then it's, you know, you've got 4 or 5 days off. So it's really keeping it in shape, you know, and trying to take care of yourself.
How about the songwriting? How do you feel like you keep creating new things? I mean, I'm thinking of some of your songs, the catalog in my brain, and I'm thinking of Rodeo Rose, All God's Critters, Lovers and Losers, Roseville Fair. You have quite the catalog, Black Fly, the Black Fly song.
Well, Black Fly is not one of my songs.
Oh, it's not one of your songs?
No,
oh, who did
Wade,
that?
Wade Hemsworth,
uh-huh.
The McGarrigles. I think the McGarrigles recorded it, but
oh, really?
It's a very well-known song in Canada.
Oh, I didn't realize it wasn't yours. Yeah. I just love that. And that was from the album with your picture on the front. I can't place the name of the album.
Just
right
Play
now.
One Tune More.
Yes,
I think it
yeah,
was.
That's
yeah.
it. That's
but
it.
I learned that off of an album by a fellow by the name of Jackie Washington, who used to play at the Club 47.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of my musical heroes. He was the first person I got to know who could fingerpick the guitar. And so his first album on Vanguard was really a seminal album for me. And I just loved all the songs on it. And Black Fly was one of the songs that he recorded.
Are you still keeping up with some of the folks that you were hanging out with back in the days of the Club 47?
No, not really. I mean, some of them, you know, have... I did run into Taj Mahal recently, though, in Berkeley. And it was funny because I never hung out with him, you know. And... So he was doing a special on guitar players for Netflix or something like that at this club in Berkeley, and I walked in because I was playing there that night, and they were just breaking down the soundstage, and the fella said, "Well, Taj Mahal is here," and you know, as I say, I didn't really know him all that well, so he went over and he says, "Taj, this is Bill Staines." He goes, "Bill Staines, Club 47, Ray Pong, Paul Arnoli, all these people that, you know." And we talked for about an hour, so uh-huh. It was pretty cool. Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Now, what about, I'm back to the question about the songwriting. Has that changed or evolved in any way that you noticed since you started out?
Well, I'm not writing as much as I used to. You know, it's one of those things where... there's a certain amount of momentum involved in songwriting, you know. And when you're, you know, I never wrote more than about 8 songs a year. But I
kept. Oh, is that off?
Well, you know, Tom Paxton had a thing about, you know, some people write 100 songs and keep 10, and some people write 10 and keep them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I sort of self-edit along the way, and if I get halfway through a song and it just isn't working, then put out the window, you know. And then over the years. I've always wanted to bring something of value to people. I mean, people can write funny songs and people can write protest songs, and you know, there's a place for all of that. But for me, I've always wanted to bring something of value to people, and so it's like when I find a story that not many people know about, or you know, or a person that's somehow like a bush pilot in Alaska or something like that, then that's really fodder for the songs. And so I'm always looking for that. It's like the film The King's Speech, you know. I mean, who knew about the stuttering problem that the king had at the time? That was a story that was never told until that film came out, really. And so there are all kinds of stories like that. And so I kind of look for those. And when I find one, that's a possibility, you know. And there are also places that I discover, little places that I discover. And and fall in love with these places, and that's material for a song. And so it's, you know, but as you get older, a lot of things get in the way. It's like if you've got 4 hours, it's like, well, do I try and write a song or do I mow the lawn? You know? And, you know, and if I try to write a song and nothing happens, then I still have to mow the lawn. So why not mow the lawn? Right. And see what, you know. And so there's a danger of running away from it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you really have to be careful of that. I do try and sit down and write as much as I can, but sometimes just other things get in the way. So, you know, now it's like maybe one or two songs a year, which is why The Third Million Miles is half new material, because I didn't really have enough for another album with its own personality. Right. So that's why there are seven new songs and seven of the ones that have been recorded. But the personality of everything being either written or recorded within The Third Million Miles is still proper.
You talked about stories and places. Do you have a favorite place that you've been able to tell the story about in your time of writing?
Well, there is actually a little place south of Santa Cruz. I was playing a concert in Santa Cruz one time, and this fellow Bob Breed, who's a wonderful musician out there, said, I was supposed to stay at his house, but things weren't working well at home for him. And so I said, well, we're on the ocean. Is there a little hotel someplace that? Oh, he says, I know just the place for you. So he took me about 2 or 3 miles south of Santa Cruz to a little village called Capitola. And so I spent about 3 days there the first time. And then I went back. And when I was writing my book, The Tour, I wrote some of the book while I was staying. This, you know, whenever I'd have 2 nights off on the road, I would go there. And so I was there last fall for a couple of days and ended up writing a song about it.
Is that the Capitola Dreams?
It is.
How about if we play that one?
How about if we do?
This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
There's a bird outside my window, singing sweetly to my ears, and a fog back on the water that will slowly disappear. There are flowers in the alley, there are sails out on the bay, and there's magic in the morning of this California day. There's a cafe on the corner, you can hear the laughter there, and it fills the early hours as the people come to share all the stories of the evening and the comings of the day. Then it's one more cup of coffee and they're off and on their way. Take my hand and we'll go walking out along the quiet pier. You can see the locals fishing and the seagulls hovering near, where the troubles of the heart and the ponderings of schemes, they vanish in the visions of my Capitola dreams. Once I knew a little market with its neatly painted sign. It was there I found a treasure as I sought the rarest wine. And I took it with me back again to my rainbow-colored room. And I rode until the morning neath the soft and silent moon. Take my hand and we'll go walking out along the quiet pier. You can see the locals fishing and the seagulls hovering near, where the troubles of the heart and the ponderings of schemes, they vanish in the visions of my Capitola dreams. I travel through this land of time and space, and I think of these old photographs, and I long for simple grace. And my mind goes back to somewhere when my heart was standing still, where the rivers and their journeys in between these golden hills. Take my hand and we'll go walking out along the quiet pier. You can see the locals fishing and the seagulls hovering near, where the troubles of the heart and the ponderings of schemes, they vanish in the visions of my Capitola dreams. Take my hand and we'll go walking out along the quiet pier. You can see the locals fishing and the seagulls hovering near, where the troubles of the heart and the ponderings of schemes, they vanish in the visions of my Capitola dreams, where the troubles of the heart and the ponderings of schemes, they vanish in the visions of my Capitola dreams.
It's called Capitola Dreams from Bill Staines here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and visit some more with Bill Staines here at NHPR.
With midterm election season now in full swing, you're hearing a lot of this.
So much chatter about a blue wave.
A lot of Republican members of Congress
lost 25 House seats and 2 Senate seats.
And maybe you're wondering what it all means for you, for your family, for your community. Morning Edition explains what's happening so you get a clearer picture. Listen every day.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Concord Regional Visiting Nurse Association, providing a range of wellness programs on topics such as aging, maximizing independence, falls prevention, and caregiving. CRVNA.org. We're visiting with Bill Staines here in our studio at NHPR. Such a treat to have Bill here, our New Hampshire hero and hero of Nancy Griffith, and very well known for writing really terrific tunes. Hey, how did you get the bug for doing this? I mean, I know you had been friends with this guy that's on your album, John Curtis for like since you were 7. Mm-hmm. Had you had an interest in music that far back?
Well, my parents were both musical. They weren't professional, but my mother played the piano. She was actually more of a dancer, and my father played the violin. And so I had music in my life right from the beginning. And when I was – actually, my first instrument was clarinet. And my dad would sit down with me, and when I had to practice, he would sit down and play some harmony parts with the scales and so forth. And I really loved that, you know. And so when I got into like junior high school or something like that, we started my playmates at the time, one of them, Dick Curtis, and his younger brother, John – and I started a little rock and roll trio, and we played for school dances occasionally or whatever. And the Curtis's mom, Louise Curtis, was the choir director at our local church. And we were rehearsing in the basement of their house one day, and she came down with the recording of the Weavers at Carnegie Hall, the original Weavers at Carnegie Hall, and put it on and said, "You guys should listen to this," you know. And so we did, and almost immediately we changed our electric guitars to banjos and, you know, and whatever, folk guitars. And,
right.
And so that really opened the door for folk music. And then I started going to the Club 47. And the first time I ever went to the Club 47, when I was originally on Mount Auburn Street, there were 3 acts that night. There was Tom Rush, Keith and Rooney, Bill Keith and Jim Rooney, and Frank Hamilton, who I'm not sure at the time he was, but eventually was playing guitar for the Weavers. And so shortly after that, I think I went to the 1965 Newport Folk Festival, which is the festival I think that Dylan went electric. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was. And the afternoon concert, it was billed as a new folks concert, but a lot of people had been around for a while. There were people like Buffy St. Marie and the Farinas and Gordon Lightfoot. And I really came away from that concert knowing that I wanted to write songs and I knew what kind of a style I wanted. And so that was really another one of those little events that opened the doors for me in so many ways. But the Newport Folk Festival event was really the one that said, that's what I'm going to do, you know.
That inspired you.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned Jim Rooney because he's going to be our guest next Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
So what kind of music was Jim Rooney playing when you saw him at Club 47?
Well, he had an album out on Prestige. I think it had just come out called One Morning in May with Bill Keith. And they were doing, I don't want to call it old-timey music, but it was country, old-timey type of stuff, a lot of traditional stuff. And it was a beautiful album. Jim also plays guitar upside down the way that I do.
Oh, my goodness.
But I got to know him pretty well because he became the manager, actually, of the Club 47 in the middle 60s. And he got me my first booking at the Club 47. I used to run the Hoots there every other Sunday or something like that, and until it closed. And I think it was April of 68 it closed. And but I've known Jim. I don't see him all that often, but occasionally, I run into him.
Isn't that funny, though? I mean, I just realized, now that you said that, you are playing your guitar upside down.
Uh-huh.
It's not upside down to you. Was it hard to learn to play?
Well, I was so young, and I picked it up, and I'm left-handed anyway. And so I picked it up and put it, I held it the way a right-handed person would hold it, and I thought, well, it just doesn't feel right. If I flip it over, then that must be the left-handed way of playing. And started putting my fingers where the dots were in the chord books. So I really learned chords. And then when we started our rock and roll band, I was never a lead guitar player. I was always the rhythm guitar player. So I could play chords and keep a rhythm. And then somewhere along the way, I developed a finger style. And a lot of it had to do with this fellow Jackie Washington, who was also playing at the Club 47 in the 60s at the time. And he had an album on Vanguard Records, the very first album, and I learned a lot of songs off of that. And so a lot of people along the way, were really influential. And it's such a wonderful time to grow up in that music scene. I mean, there was New York and there was Chicago and, L.A. and that, but the Boston folk scene was just really vibrant. I mean, a lot of young people, a lot of university people and things like that. And it was like heaven.
Bill Staines is our guest here in the studio on the Folk Show. And he has a new album that's going to be coming out soon called The Third Million Miles. Bill, do you have any darlings on this new release? One that's just the one for you?
You mean songs?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I like them all.
That's
really
hard. It's hard to ask.
It is because because I chose songs off of previously recorded stuff that I really liked. Like the song I started out with, "Old Dogs." I really like that song.
Yeah.
And
what album was that on originally?
"Old Dogs."
Okay. Okay.
When you do an album like this, it's like when I finish a song, if it gets to get finished. Then I usually really like it a lot, and because it just never happens if I say, well, this just isn't working. It just never gets finished, and so all of these songs are something that really means something to me.
Let's talk about before we hear another song. Let's talk about where folks can see you in their near future. You have your calendar in front of you?
I do not have my calendar in front of me. What? I used to know this, Kate. Now I have to look at my calendar every week and go, where am I this week?
Well, we'll dig it out for you.
All right.
So we'll tell people where you're going to be. So your next show is going to be a private show that's happening tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and that's in New Canaan. And then you've got a show coming up right here in Concord on the 19th at the New Hampshire Audubon Center, and that's on Silk Farm Road. They have the coolest venue there. It's called the Birds and Beans Coffee House, and that is at the New Hampshire Audubon Center, and that's on the 19th right. of July. You'll be in Maine at the Skudik Arts Center on the 20th, and then all the way to the Old Mission Library in Michigan. So going on out to Michigan.
I'll be gone for about 3 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
That's in Traverse City, and then there's a place called Gros Benzies that's just in Benzonia, which is just south of Traverse City.
And that's your July schedule.
And then I go on to Wisconsin and Indianapolis, or it's just south of Indianapolis. And then the Adirondacks and home.
We'll be posting the information about the Birds and Beans Coffee House on our website at nhpr.org. Bill, what should we hear next?
This is a song called My Jenny. It's off of the album. And this song was originally sort of inspired by an organization that I found out about called Arrows Across America. And it's an organization that really sort of gives out information about this program that was done in the 1915, 1920, all through the 30s up until the Second World War, where the airmail pilots, when they flew at nighttime, there was no radar or anything like that. And sometimes when the rural stuff, they couldn't see anything, really. There were no lights around and so forth. And so the government, every 10 miles, put up a 120-foot tower with a beacon on top of it. And at the base of the tower, they built these 14 by 72-foot arrows out of concrete or cement. And the arrows were lit up by the beacon, and the pilot would fly towards the beacons, and then the arrows would point the way to the next beacon. And so and that way they illuminated the air routes at the time. So you can still find some of these arrows. I think there are something like, maybe four in Montana, and some of them are on private property. And when the Second World War came along, the government took down most of the beacons for the metal that they needed to fight the war. So, but there are still some, there are a few beacons left, and there are still some arrows left.
Are you a pilot yourself?
I've soloed, but I don't have a license.
Okay.
I can't say I'm a pilot.
Well, if you've soloed, then you're a pilot in my book.
Okay.
Let's listen to My Jenny from the new release from Bill Staines. The new album is called The Third Million Miles.
There's a long, friendly field out before us. As her wheels, they go rolling along. And the wind in her wires, a chorus. Where the whisper, it brings its song. Then with a leap, she belongs to the heavens. And the earth falls away from her tail. We are rising above. We are flying the morning mail. And my Jenny thinks she's an angel, with her slight and her slender wings, winding over the walls and woodlands, skimming over the lakes and springs. Now it's west we head into the sundown, as the light of the evening fades. Surrounded by deepening darkness, we are flying the nightly mail. With the stars overhead in the heavens, and with the last of the dying day, there are beacons ablaze in the distance. There are arrows to point the way. And my Jenny thinks she's an angel, as we climb to the fading light. With her nose to a gentle zephyr, she's my damsel of dancing flight. Are nothing but memories, just some portraits of bygone times, soaring out of some age-old stories and into some new-spun rhymes. Still my Jenny will fly forever, sweeping up to the skies again, in the soul of a daytime dream, on the breath of a dancing wind. Still my Jenny will fly forever, sweeping off to the skies again, in the soul of a daytime dream, on the breath of a dancing wind.
Song from Bill Staines here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Who helped you out on that one, Bill?
Well, my friend Brian Wood, once again from Texas. Billy Novick played soprano sax. Dura Langer was on violin. Uh-huh. John Curtis was on, you know, a lot of the same folks that were on the other songs. John Curtis played mandolin, and I think that was it.
Now, what do you do for fun? You can't be mowing your lawn all the time.
Oh, you know. Crossword puzzles.
Okay. So funny. What is the strangest place you ever wrote a song? I mean, you said you wrote a song in the border of a crossword puzzle once. Any other odd songwriting experiences you want to share with us?
Well, I'll tell you. A Place in the Choir, for instance, which is probably, I guess, one of my most well-known songs. I was just at home one day playing a little, almost like a Cajun fiddle tune on the guitar in a tuning. And I was just playing this little melody, and it was a different rhythm, but it was sort of a Cajun rhythm. And I just went, oh, God's grace got a place in the choir, you know. And it took me about 5 or 10 minutes to write the song, because it was a good concept about the animals having different voices in the choir. But I was into writing sort of pretty love songs and so forth. And so it was really a doodle, you know. It was just like a little cartoon that I scribbled out in 5 minutes. And my wife came home, and I said, what do you think of this song? And she went, well, yeah, it's okay, you know. And I thought, well, yeah, it's okay. I'm not sure, you know, whatever. And I played it the next night in Fredonia, New York. And people jumped on it. And I thought, what? So years later, there it is.
Yeah, a lot of people have recorded that song, sure, too. Do you have any idea how many? Quite a few.
I don't know. Yeah. You go to YouTube, and it's like, you know, some little church group someplace, and, you know, it's just all over the back. You know, songs are like children. I mean, they really are. It may sound trite to say it, but it's like you write a song. It's like, now this child is in the universe, and you need to nurture this child. And I'm fortunate enough that I perform. So if I've written a song, then I can give it to people and allow it to grow. And the people feed the song. And then it grows up, and eventually it develops these relationships that don't have anything to do with you at all. And it's like, you know, I say, well, you know, suppose you have a child that grows up and discovers a cure for some disease. It's like, well, you're really proud of the child, but they're the ones out there doing it.
Right.
And so that's where songs go. They just go into the civilization, you know.
Well, Bill has several children, soon to be launched into the universe. the new album is called The Third The Third Million Miles, where some of his older children reside and some of the new ones that may, who knows what they'll do after they hit the universe. But we wish you well with the new release,
thanks.
Third Million Miles,
thanks,
and
Kate.
On your upcoming tour. And encourage folks to check out the Birds and Beans Coffee House in Concord, and that's at the New Hampshire Audubon Center, 84 Silk Farm Road, and that is on July 19th. Mm. If you want to find out more details about his travels, just visit acousticmusic.com/stains, and you can find out more details about Bill Stains.
Right.
You can also visit my calendar at nhpr.org. Click on the Folk Show page for our listing of events, and our calendar and festival calendar is there. Bill, I thank you so much for stopping by the Folk Show.
Well, thanks, Kate. I appreciate it.
I hope you'll do it again sometime.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to.
This is NHPR.
All the God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, paws, or anything they got. Listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. The old cat just goes moo. The dogs and the cats that take up the middle. The honeybee hums, the cricket fiddles, the donkey brays and the pony days and the old coyote howls. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, paws, or anything they got now. Listen to the top where the little birds sing, and the melody with the high notes ringing. The hoot owl hall is over everything, and the jaybird disagrees. Singing in the nighttime, singing in the day, the little duck quacks and he's on his way. The possum ain't got much to say, and the porcupine talks to himself. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, paws, or anything they got. It's a simple song, a living song everywhere, by the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, the grumpy alligator and the hawk above, the sly raccoon and the turtle dove. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, paws, or anything they got. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, paws, or anything they got now. It's all God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, paws, or anything they got now.
As Bill Stains, A Place in the Choir, here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Clark's Trading Post, celebrating 90 years of family entertainment. Bear shows, circus acts, train rides, Wolfman, and much more. Information at clarkstradingpost.com. Again, thanks to our guest, Bill Stains, for stopping by the Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio.